Good morning. We are back from Florida. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. We had a good time there. I was doing a lot of this, but I was not on a board. I was just trying to not get knocked over by the waves. Had a great time. I don't know if I got the suntan going or not, but we had a great time in Florida. We are certainly glad to be back. I wanted to bring attention to you on, I don't know if you've ever noticed this on the bulletin. We have this pointed out on the screen. You can give online just by taking your phone and clicking on the QR reader here and give that way if you'd like to. And we've been saying over and over, you can do online giving. Let me just give you a testimonial for online giving. Very often, Lisa and I will forget our checkbook because, frankly, we hardly write checks anymore. So just setting it up to give an online just payment automatically to the church and our giving really helps us out in terms of our giving. It really helps the church out so that if we go on vacation, we don't have to worry about trying to write a check later or something like that. Now, my wife's uncle said that does present a little bit of a problem in church because people don't see you putting something in the plate. So his suggestion was when it comes by, just thump it on the bottom so people will... So if you're concerned about that, you might want to thump it on the bottom. But it really does help out if you would do the online giving and provide that way. And I want to reiterate the singing tonight, great opportunity for us to learn some new songs. It is our custom to pray for folks, and we want to pray for folks, and our elders, a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room. The conference room is out the back door to the left and go down. They would love to meet with you about any concern, any need you have. It's really a private environment. You can meet with them. So at the end of the lesson, if you're interested in that, you can go down there and meet with them. If you decide, based on something you hear in the sermon this morning, or you've been studying, you've been thinking about being baptized, we want to let you know that opportunity is always available. If you want to come to the front at the end of the sermon, we will baptize you this morning. If you want to talk to me about that or one of the elders, they would love to share that with you. So please let us know if you have an interest in that. Let's begin our lesson in prayer. Dear Father, this morning we are thinking about that one in our lives, and likely much more than one, but those that are close to us who do not know you, who do not have a relationship with you, and we can be the one to help them connect. And as we think about that important message that needs to come to them, we ask, Father, that you would help us to be the ones that would step in that gap. So now I ask, Father, that you be with and bless the preaching and hearing of your word. It's your son we pray. Amen. So if it hasn't started happening yet, it is 11:30. If it hasn't started happening yet, soon there's going to be, as Winnie the Pooh would say, that little rumbly in your tumbly, right? Because we've gotten ourselves conditioned to eat at certain times of the day. Now, you can drink you some water, and that'll maybe hold you off for a little bit, but you're going to maybe ignore it a little bit. But at some point, if I go an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, you're going to say, forget this, we're going down to Nukes or wherever, we're going to take care of that rumbly and the tumbly. You're going to deal with that hunger. But if you don't eat lunch, drink some water, after a while, it won't be quite as bad. And if you actually go a day or two, then the rumbling will settle down, you won't feel quite as hungry anymore. You could even go possibly a week and just drink water and not eat, and then those hunger pains won't be quite as strong. You could actually be starving to death and not necessarily feel hungry. I want to suggest to you that there are people all around us that are just like that. They are starving for the Lord. They just don't know it. They are hungry for God. They are hungry for His salvation, and they just don't know it. And it's not just they. There is one that is in need of God's salvation. So there was this woman who was labeled in her society, Jewish society, as sinful. And she comes into this party that Jesus is attending at a Pharisee's house. And she comes to Jesus and she falls down at his feet. And she's crying. She's wiping his feet with her hair and drying them off and everything. And she is sinful, Scripture tells us, which means really she's doomed in her society. She is an outcast. She is not welcome at church, at the temple. She is not welcome. And the story tells us, the Scripture tells us, that Jesus forgave her sins. Then there was this woman who had this issue of bleeding, a menstrual issue, for 12 years. 12 years. And so she hears of Jesus coming through town. So she kind of slips through the crowd to touch Jesus. But this is a woman that's also excluded from the temple. She is unclean. She is also an outcast. But then she touched him and she was healed. Then there's the story of the demon-possessed man. They kept him out by the cemetery because you don't want a crazy guy like that around the kids anywhere. You might think of him maybe today as being schizophrenic or something, but he's out there and he's alone and he's helpless. And then Jesus shows up and he tells the demons that are in him to get out. He just throws them out and they go off into the pigs, and the pigs, as you know, go off down into the lake. All three of those stories have something in common with one another. That's because in all three of those stories, the scripture tells us that all of those people were saved. The Greek word for save is sozo. So say it with me, sozo. Sozo, right? Sozo. So now you guys are Greek experts, you're Greek theologians, okay? Sozo, to save. All these people were sozoed. Now we usually associate that word with something that's going to happen in the future. So I get myself into a saved condition, my sins are forgiven, so that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But in all three of these stories that I just told you about, it's a present condition. It's something that's presently going on in these people's lives. The woman is saved, she's sozoed from her sin. We have the guy out at the tombs who's sozoed from the evil spirits that are in him. And the sick woman, the bleeding woman, sozoed from her bleeding. And so sozo cures, heals, saves the destruction that's going on in a person's life right now. And we can think about, we probably all know at least one person that needs that sozo. Maybe that person is a woman that you know, that's going through this revolving door of men because of all the insecurities that she has in her life. Or maybe it's a person who's in need of sozo because of the addiction in their life, alcohol or drugs. Or maybe it's the person that needs God's sozo because of the loneliness that they're experiencing and the depression that they may be going through, as you heard Robin talk about a little bit. Or maybe it's this great cynicism that you also heard Robin talk about that makes this person so negative in their lives and they need God's sozo. Or maybe it's a person that's just so full of anger and hatred and they are in need of sozo. Or maybe they are people that seem to have everything, but in fact they actually have nothing and they are in need of God's sozo. The Gospel of John, Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal and to hit, kill and to destroy." Satan only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's destroying people all around us all of the time. The thing is, they often don't look very destroyed. They look like very successful American families, but their marriage is just about to blow up. Or they look like very successful people in their businesses, but their relationships are torn. Or they look like fine, upstanding citizens, but their self-image is shattered. And Jesus has come to sozo that person, to save them. And so we heard the scripture reading this morning about this guy, Zacchaeus, this wee little man we had sing in the song, and he hears Jesus is coming to town, his reputation has come before him. So he climbs up in a tree, he wants to see Jesus. Zacchaeus is a man who's in serious need of some sozo, because he has a messed up life. And Jesus says, "I'm going to your house for lunch. Come on down." So they go to lunch. And he is sozoed. You remember how the story ends? The scripture reading just a minute ago? "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save," sozo, "the lost." And Zacchaeus is saved. There is at least one in your life, I guarantee it, at least one who is in need of God's sozo. They're in need of the hope that goes beyond the cemetery in their lives. They're in need of the hope that they need right now for the things that are happening in their lives. And so we go through Scripture, we see folks that encounter Jesus, and then they find the one, their one, and bring him or her to Jesus. You got these four guys. They have their friend. He's paralyzed. He's in need of Jesus' sozo. So they get their friend and they bring him. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? It's blasphemous. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, Why are they thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So notice what Jesus says to the paralyzed man. He doesn't say at first that you're healed. He says, "Your sins are forgiven," and everybody's taken aback. Only God can do that, right? But there is this connection throughout Scripture of sin and sickness. Not that if you lie, you're somehow going to get pneumonia, but that sickness is in the world because sin is in the world. And so he says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven," and then he follows that up with, "Get up and walk." And he heals this man. But it only happens because his four friends got him and carried him to Jesus. And I can think of all kinds of good reasons why they would not do that. I mean, we're all living busy lives, right? So they've probably got a lot of things on their plate. They don't have time really to deal with this. And maybe their friend is kind of happy with his life the way it is. And so maybe they don't really need to take him there. Or maybe they just ought to mind their own business and not get involved in their friend's activities. Aren't those the kinds of things we say to ourselves about our friends, about our one? We maybe ought to mind our own business. We shouldn't really talk about religion and politics with folks, right? Then you got this story of this fisherman. And he's hanging out with this new rabbi that's come on the scene. And he hears this guy teaching and he keeps thinking, "I think this guy has the answer to everything. And what am I going to do about that?" So he goes and he finds his brother. The Gospel of John tells the story this way. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus said to them, following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So what Andrew does, he finds something really significant in his life, finds a person that's really significant, and the first thing he does is go and finds his brother and brings him to Jesus. Now you can imagine possibly how Peter might respond when Andrew shows up on the scene, right? "Please, how many false messiahs have we already seen come and go? I'm not ready to go after another one." And Andrew, you're always going after something flaky and going after some new thing out there. Plus, I have work to do, and Andrew, so do you. But Peter doesn't respond that way at all, apparently. And he goes with Andrew. We make these assumptions about people sometimes, don't we? Nobody wants to hear. They're not interested in Jesus. 20-some-odd years ago, we were doing a vacation Bible school at our church in California, and this woman showed up with her two small children to our vacation Bible school. She had some connections with the church, some family, so it was natural for her to come to vacation Bible school. And she said when she got there, "Man, I need to get myself connected with the Lord and with the church, and I need my kids connected." So the next Sunday after vacation Bible school, she was there. And the next Sunday, she was there, and then she wasn't there anymore. And the next year of Vacation Bible School, she came again and said the same thing, and she was there a Sunday, and then another Sunday, and then not there anymore. And you're starting to see a pattern develop here. This woman, she really is not going to be committed to this. She really doesn't want this. She just talks the talk. She doesn't walk the walk. But about the fourth year, she came the first Sunday, and the second Sunday, and then the third Sunday, and then the fourth Sunday, and then she called me and said, I would like you to come over and study the Bible with me. And I baptized her and her daughter. We make all kinds of assumptions about people and who wants to hear and who doesn't want to hear. Then there's the story of the tax collector, Levi, we hear about in the Gospel of Mark. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus said. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Here's a guy that's in desperate need of some sozo in his life. He's collecting taxes for the enemy. If anybody is alienated in his own community, it is this guy. If there's anybody that's hated in his own community, it is this guy. But what's funny about this is he does actually have friends. Who are his friends? It's other tax collectors and sinners. And he has them over for a party at the house. And guess who he invites to come to the party? Jesus. And so he finds his one, only he has multiple ones, and he brings them and connects them to Jesus. We all feel this need for Jesus. Why did they all feel the need to get this one to Jesus? For some people, it's by reputation. They heard about Jesus coming through town. You know, they did the Yelp reviews, right? You checked out Jesus there. Get on Travel Advisor or whatever. And we do those kinds of things, Travel Advisor, and we go on Amazon and read the reviews, so we find out about something. So some people have just heard about Jesus. And so, like the four guys, they bring their four friends. But other people have had actual a personal experience with Jesus. Something has happened in their lives. We do that all the time with things, don't we? A friend of ours found out that we were going to Destin, Florida for a vacation. She immediately got a piece of paper out and said, you need to go eat here, and you need to go eat here, and you need to go to this place and do this thing. She knew some good things because she went to Destin last year. And she's saying, hey, you need to go check these things out. They're really good things. A little over a year ago, one of our dogs got really sick, and it came time for us to put him down. And that dog was 15 years old. Those of you who had a dog a long time and gone through that, you know what that's all about. And our vet came to our house and put him down for us while we held him. Now, when people ask us to recommend a vet, guess who we recommend? Because we've had this personal experience. And sometimes we have a personal experience and we tell people, you don't want to do that. Like, don't go eat at that place. We saw maggots in the food. Do not go there. Or these people, this mechanic over here is going to charge you for things you don't need. So don't go to this place. But by that personal experience people have, then they have this testimony to give. That's Andrew. Andrew goes to Peter because he's had this personal experience with Jesus. He didn't read the Yelp reviews. He had been with Jesus. So he has this personal experience. And so have you. At least I assume that's why you're here. You've had some kind of personal experience with the Lord in your life. The Lord has made some kind of difference in your life. Jesus has provided sozo for you. What does that look like in your life? We've been hearing these testimonies week after week this summer. What difference does Jesus make in your life? If you were asked that question, if you were put in front of the camera, what would be your answer? Do you have an answer for that? Does Jesus bring certain meaning to your life that you would not have without him? Does he help you deal with sin and guilt that you feel in your life? Does he give you hope? What would you say to that question? What difference does Jesus make in your life? And if you can tell your friends about the best restaurant or the best veterinarian to go to or the best mechanic to go to, why can't you tell your friends about the one who provides sozo? And if you were to tell who would you tell? Who is your one? Well, this story, we're going to help you out with that because this fall, we're going to do the Jesus story. We're going to go through the Gospel of Luke and walk all the way through the New Testament, telling the Jesus story in the life of Jesus, but also in the life of Jesus' people in the church. And so there's an opportunity for you to bring your friends to be a part of that. We have these booklets, just like we've been doing all along, the Jesus story that we're going to go through. You can work with your friend, bring them with you on Sunday morning to worship service and help them to be a part of that. So ask yourself, start thinking now, who could I invite to that? We're going to start in September. Who could I invite to come and hear the Jesus story? Who is my one? And so this is why we have the ones up here. Who is your one that you could invite? At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. All the world. That's a little intimidating, isn't it? That's sort of like saying you need to feed the whole world. That's a pretty big thing. You know, I'm told that you can feed the whole world for $30 billion a year. You got that laying around? And so it's intimidating. It's so much. But we're not talking about going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. We're talking about the one. Who is the one? And the one makes a difference. You've heard about the kid on the beach, haven't you? With the starfish, picking them up, chucking them back in. And somebody says to the kid, you know you can't save all those millions of starfish on the beach. And the kid says, yeah, but saved that one. Just one. One makes a difference. You can tell the one. Is there a Peter in your life that you can share the story with? Is there one? You might be surprised about that one. Sometimes that one has not been interested in the Lord for years and years, and all of a sudden something has happened that you don't even know about that has caused them to be interested. It might be the one that you see every day. It may not be one that you don't know very well, but you have at least one in your life. A fellow named Clive was a guy that nobody ever expected to be interested in Christianity because Clive was raised in church, was taught all that stuff, heard these Bible stories, but when he got into college, he said enough of that, and he left it all, turned his back, went into academics, and became very obstinate about it. But his friend John would not give up on Clive. And they'd go to the pub, and they'd drink a beer, and they'd talk about God, and they'd talk about Jesus. And then one day, out of the blue, nobody would have believed it, Clive decided to become a Christian. Clive Staples Lewis, C.S. Lewis. And his friend John Ronald Reuel Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, who never gave up on his one. That one may be closer than you think. Let's stand and sing.